And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that lets you take control of your health so that you can live at the top of your curve and you can teach your family how to do so too. And we have a great guest for you right now, Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, who has been at Harvard Medical School for about 35 years and is a professor of medicine there. And ran, and that's where I met him, and he reminded me in front of a crowd of about 4,000 people that he ran the continuing education series for Harvard and runs it, and I don't know if you still do, but it is The Big Five, a wonderfully written book about five simple things you can do to live a longer, healthier life. Dr. Chopra, thanks for coming on.
Dr. Roizen, delighted to be on your show and to reacquaint with you. You gave an outstanding keynote.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you about coffee, because at one point your brother, Deepak, was in fact saying we shouldn't have coffee. We should de-stress by staying away from it. But you're saying it's one of those simple things, and I'm on your side on this, so you've got a friendly audience, at least locally, that says, in fact, coffee is one of those things, at least for fast metabolizers, which is the vast majority of us, that decreases our risks of a whole bunch of things, including diabetes and liver problems and, in fact, some of the cancers.
Yeah.
What's
so,
the
you know,
difference? Do you argue with your brother?
You know, I love my brother a lot. We're very close, but every now and then I have to correct him, and he takes it in good stride. We actually wrote our autobiography together 2 years ago, and it's called Brotherhood, Dharma, Destiny, and the American Dream. And he wrote 12 chapters. I wrote 12 chapters. We're in touch all the time. He actually is the one who introduced me to the first Starbucks in San Diego. And this is about, you know, 35 years ago, 30 years ago. And I know for a fact that he drinks coffee. So I was intrigued.
I'm good.
Yeah, I was intrigued. You know, as you know, I'm a liver specialist. And about 25 years ago, an article appeared, and it said coffee drinkers have low liver enzymes. So when people go to see their primary care physician once a year, they do a battery of blood tests, and amongst them are liver enzymes. It caught my attention, but then the studies came out and it said people who drink two cups of regular coffee have a 50% reduction in hospitalization and mortality from chronic liver disease. And by many good estimates, 1 billion people in the world have chronic liver disease. Then studies came out that not only does it lower the risk of hospitalization and mortality, that two cups of regular coffee confers a 40% protection reduction in primary liver cancer. And primary liver cancer is now the third leading cause of cancer mortality in the world. And then articles came out that said it lowers the risk of metastatic prostate cancer, colon cancer, endometrial cancer, skin cancer, type 2 diabetes, gout, Parkinsonism, cognitive decline. And finally, about 2.5-3 years ago in the New England Journal of Medicine, an article, and it said coffee drinkers, men and women, have lower total and cause-specific mortality. That day, I got about 120 emails saying, Sanjeev, you've talked about coffee and its health benefits in your liver talks. You are finally vindicated.
No, it is wonderful. So now, people always ask, and we've got a question already on the email line. People can call in and ask us questions,
sure,
at 844-305-7800. But on the email line, we have a question saying, does it have to be regular? Can it be decaffeinated?
Very good question. So all the benefits I just mentioned are seen with both regular and decaf, except for cirrhosis of the liver. It appears to be regular. So it's not the caffeine, because Coca-Cola doesn't confer that protection. Tea does not confer any of these protective effects, even though it's rich in antioxidants. And there are constituents in coffee like caviol, cafestol, chlorogenic acid. Chlorogenic acid is one of the richest antioxidants. And caviol and cafestol, if in the lab I produce liver injury, giving this animal a very severe toxin. And now I repeat the instrument and I pre-treat the animal with caviol or cafestol. It abrogates the injury. Coffee is now the number one beverage consumed in the world. More than 2.25 billion cups of coffee are consumed each day.
Now, I'm going to come back to coffee in a few minutes, but I want to make sure we get the rest. And by the way, if you want to find out more about Dr. Sanjeev Chopra and his book, you can go to Sanjeev Chopra, SanjeevChopra.com, and find out more. You can get the book at Amazon, The Big Five. Now, let's go to the other of the Big Five, and then we'll come back to, hopefully we'll have enough time to come back to coffee, because there are questions about, since we talk about coffee and Parkinson's disease, there are questions about that as well in the email line. But let me go and ask you about the number two choice. So these are really five easy choices to help make you younger. And the next one is one you said, and I love it, is in the introduction you said, take a walk on a sunny day to a Starbucks, and as you're getting there, well, I'm going to let you tell what you're getting when you're walking to the Starbucks.
Yeah. So that's a way to remember the Big Five. So it's coffee, exercise, vitamin D, nuts, and meditation. And the easy way to remember is, on a good sunny day, don't put sunblock. Go for a brisk walk to your favorite Java shop. And now you've already got the benefit of coffee, exercise, and vitamin D. Don't go nuts remembering this. And before you go, meditate. And there's an ancient saying, you should meditate once a day. And if you don't have time to do that, you should meditate twice a day.
Isn't that great? Okay, so the second one I wanted to get to was vitamin D, which is what you get from the sun. But as we get older, we don't get as good conversion of the inactive to active vitamin D. So even in the elderly who get out in the sun, we often have to get some in another way. How should they get it, or is your prescription that we should always get it from the sun?
Yeah, so it's turning out that, as you know, vitamin D, we've known for a while, is not a vitamin, it's a hormone, but we call it vitamin D, and the skin makes vitamin D1 when we're exposed to the sun. Then the liver converts it into D2, and the kidney converts it into D3, and that's the active ingredient. And our skin doctors, and I give them credit, have done a very good job telling us to put sunblock. Most of the dermatologists at Harvard Medical School, teaching-affiliated hospitals, now also give them a prescription for vitamin D3. And they're young kids playing soccer in Florida who are turning out to be vitamin D deficient because they're putting sunblock. So my refrain is, get one blood level done once. You know, go primary care doctors are now starting to do this, vitamin D3 level. And sometimes you'll be astounded. Not only are you deficient, I recently had a cardiologist colleague, and we were traveling to Singapore to teach, and the other two colleagues and I were taking vitamin D, and he said he wasn't. And I said, do me a favor, when you come back, get a blood level checked. And 2 weeks later, he pages me. And he says, Sanjeev, guess what my level was? And I said, 5, 7, very low. He says, 0, undetectable. So he's working hard in the hospital. He goes to the beach once in a while, puts sunblock. He's dark complexion. Dark complexion people absorb less vitamin D from the sun. So we are actually in the midst of an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency.
And when we come back, Sanjeev, we're going to talk about the other three. And I want to get to a few more questions about coffee. But in the meantime, we'll listen to these important messages and come back to hear more from Dr. Sanjeev Chopra, SanjeevChopra.com, The Big Five.
Yo. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And I've been talking with Sanjeev Chopra, C-H-O-P-R-A. You're right, that's Deepak's brother. Sanjeev is S-A-N-J-I-V-C-H-O-P-R-A. And if you put a .com after it, you can find out much more about the Big Five. It's a great book. I've been talking to him during the break because he and I see things so similarly. And we've been talking, initially we talked about coffee, and then we talked about vitamin D, the need to get your level checked, because none of us know where our level is, and then to get whatever supplements are needed. And Sanjeev, where do you, what level do you shoot for, and why do you shoot for that level?
Yeah, so, you know, if there's a level of 20 to 60, say, in that particular lab that is normal, it turns out, and there's a study to prove this, that people with high normal levels, so they're not above normal, but high normal levels live longer. And vitamin D is not only good for our bones, we sort of all know that. It's good for muscles. It's good for the immune system. There's a low risk of multiple sclerosis. People who have multiple sclerosis, a study came out 3 or 4 weeks ago. I tweeted about it, that if they take high doses of vitamin D, that they have less relapse. And there is going to be a randomized study, and it's going to be done at Harvard. It's NIH-funded. It's going to include 21,000 individuals, $20 million study, and it's going to be vitamin D, I hope they pick the right dose, versus fish oil versus placebo. That'll take many, many years to come out. For the time being, I say go get a vitamin D level checked. Even if you're sufficient, it's normal, take 2,000 to 4,000 international units a day. Milk won't give you enough, you know? And regular vitamins have 200 units.
Yeah, so I do the same thing. I try and shoot for levels of 50 to 80 with my own patients and in myself.
Yeah, perfect.
But certainly a level above 35.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. And if you're deficient, then the person needs 50,000 international units once a week, usually for 3 months, and then their levels come up to normal, and then they should take supplemental to the tune of 4,000 international units a day. There are a couple of conditions, sarcoidosis and hyperparathyroidism, and one has to be careful about taking vitamin D. So it's always good to check with your primary care doctor.
Now I'm going to go to, I think we all know exercise, hopefully we'll get to that in a second, but nuts and the other one. Go ahead to nuts.
Yeah. So nuts, you know, were considered food for the gods by the ancient Greeks and by the Romans. And I remember when I was young, growing up in India, my grandparents every morning fed us almonds. And all four of my grandparents lived into their 90s. Now, I don't know if it was the almonds. But then we were taught in medical school, and, you know, I think we're taught nutrition very poorly, that, oh, nuts have a lot of calories, be careful. But now all the studies are coming out that nuts lower LDL, the bad cholesterol, nuts lower the risk of prostate cancer, you know, nuts lower the risk of heart disease. And then a study appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, premier medical journal, this is about 2 years ago, it said consuming nuts, and that includes pine nuts, cashew nuts, almonds, walnuts, but also the lowly nut, which is not a nut, the peanut, a legume, said people who consume nuts 4 or 5 times a week compared to people who don't eat nuts, everything else being equal, live longer, lower mortality. And it also said, and I sort of hesitate to share this, but it also said even if those individuals do not exercise and are overweight. So each pistachio, I love pistachios, is only 4 calories. You have to break the shell. If I have 25 of those, and if I eat them 30 minutes before lunch or dinner, I'm satiated. It turns out I actually eat less lunch or dinner, and I've gotten 100 calories, less than a Coca-Cola.
No, that's exactly right. So I do the same thing with walnuts, because walnuts are the only nut with a lot of omega-3 in them.
Yeah, very good point.
And so, and they do decrease your appetite, as you said, satiating.
Yeah.
You need it 30 minutes before, and I remember my parents always used to have a bowl of nuts and have some nuts 30 minutes before dinner. So,
yeah.
We weren't smart enough as kids to share them with our parents, but the parents had them.
I carry nuts in the car. I have some in the office, and at home, it's always lying on the kitchen table.
Me also.
Yeah.
So we know about exercise. So the fifth one is meditation. And you said if you don't have time to meditate once a day, you should do it twice a day.
Yeah,
tell
that means you really, really need
what
it.
The
So I've been practicing meditation now for about 35, 36 years. I was a total skeptic. My brother started, his wife, then my wife, and then I was the last one about a month later. And subjectively, you feel great. You have experienced happiness and bliss. You're more creative. You have better social interactions. You're more fluent when you're speaking. And that's all good. But the objective data is emerging now. The science is catching up. And one of the most amazing things is a wonderful discovery by Elizabeth Blackburn, an Australian scientist who's now working in California. And some 7-8 years ago, she got the Nobel Prize in Medicine or Physiology for discovering telomeres and telomerase, the enzyme. Yeah, so at the end of our shoelaces, we have a piece of plastic. At the end of our chromosomes, we have telomeres. And that's related to cellular aging, the length of the telomeres. So who has shortened telomeres? Mothers of chronically disabled children, caregivers of people with dementia. And it may relate to 10 years of lower lifespan. And who has longer telomeres? People who exercise, people on the Mediterranean diet, and people who do meditation. So it's really remarkable.
Let me tell you, you can find out. I'm going to, because of time, Dr. Chopra, I'm going to take the prerogative of saying this is all well written in an incredibly entertaining fashion in the Big Five. So if I was going to say one book you should get on health, and we review book after book after book on the show week after week, my favorite book right now, there's no question to it, is The Big Five. And that's saying a lot, because I've probably, we've been on, 15 years? So probably 50 books, probably we've reviewed between the one and two sessions, more than 100 books on the show. No, more than 15 years, more than 1,000 books on the show. And of all the books I've read, this one is simple to follow, clear, written concisely, fun. It's only 208 what I would call easy-to-read pages. It really is easy to read. It's brilliantly written. And five simple things you can do to live a longer, healthier life. Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. Go to sanjeevchopra.com. It is wonderful. So, Dr. Chopra, I want to really appreciate one you doing this. Big Five, coffee, nuts, exercise, meditation, and vitamin D.